The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross. Book 1, Chapter 3. Of some imperfections which some of these souls are apt to have with respect to the second deadly sin, which is avarice, in the spiritual sense. Many of these beginners have also at times great spiritual avarice. They will be found to be discontented with the spirituality which God gives them, and they are very disconsolate and querulous, because they do not find in spiritual things the consolation that they would desire. Many can never have enough of listening to counsels and learning spiritual precepts, and of possessing and reading many books which treat of this matter. And they spend their time on all these things rather than on works of mortification and the perfecting of the inward poverty of spirit which should be theirs. Furthermore, they burden themselves with images and rosaries which are very curious. Now they put down one, now they take up another, now they change about, now change back again. Now they want this kind of thing, now that, preferring one kind of cross to another because it is more curious. And others you will see adorned with Agnus Deis and relics and tokens, like children with trinkets. Here I condemn the attachment of the heart, and the affection which they have for the nature, multitude, and curiosity of these things, inasmuch as it is quite contrary to poverty of spirit, which considers only the substance of devotion, makes use only of what suffices for that end, and grows weary of this other kind of multiplicity and curiosity. For true devotion must issue from the heart, and consist in the truth and substances alone of what is represented by spiritual things. All the rest is affection and attachment, proceeding from imperfection. And in order that one may pass to any kind of perfection, it is necessary for such desires to be killed. I know a person who for more than 10 years made use of a cross roughly formed from a branch that had been blessed, fastened with a pin around it. He never ceased using it, and he always carried it about with him until I took it from him. And this was a person of no small sense and understanding. And I saw another who said his prayers using beads made of bones from the spine of a fish. His devotion was certainly no less precious on that account in the sight of God, for it is clear that these things carried no devotion in their workmanship or value. Those, then, who start from these beginnings and make good progress attach themselves to no visible instruments, nor do they burden themselves with such, nor desire to know more than is necessary in order that they may act well. For they set their sights only on being right with God and on pleasing Him, and therein consists their covetousness. And thus with great generosity they give away all they have, and delight to know that they do not have it, for God's sake and for charity to their neighbor, no matter whether these be spiritual things or temporal. For as I say, they set their eyes only upon the reality of interior perfection, which is to give pleasure to God, and in nothing to give pleasure to themselves. But neither from these imperfections nor from those others can the soul be perfectly purified, until God brings it into the passive purgation of that dark night whereof we shall speak presently. It befits the soul, however, to contrive to labor, in so far as it can, on its own account, to the end that it may purge and perfect itself, and thus may merit being taken by God into that divine care, wherein it becomes healed of all things that it was unable of itself to cure. Because, however greatly the soul itself labors, it cannot actively purify itself so as to be in the least degree prepared for the divine union of perfection of love, if God does not take its hand and purge it in that dark fire, in the way and the manner which we have to describe. Chapter 4. Of other imperfections which these beginners are apt to have with respect to the third sin, which is luxury, or lust. Many of these beginners have many other imperfections than those which I am describing with respect to each of the deadly sins. But these I set aside in order to avoid prolixity. Touching upon a few of the most important, which are, as it were, the origin and cause of the rest. And thus, with respect to this sin of luxury, leaving apart the falling of spiritual persons into this sin, since my intent is to treat of the imperfections which have to be purged by the dark night, they have many imperfections which might be described as spiritual luxury, not because they are so, but because the imperfections proceed from spiritual things. For it often comes to pass that in their very spiritual exercises, when they are powerless to prevent it, there arise and assert themselves in the sensual part of the soul impure acts and motions. And sometimes this happens even when the spirit is deep in prayer, or engaged in the sacrament of penance, or in the Eucharist. These things are not, as I say, in their power. They proceed from one of three causes. The first cause from which they often proceed is the pleasure which human nature takes in spiritual things. For when the spirit and the sense are pleased, every part of a man is moved by that pleasure to delight according to its proportion and nature. For then the spirit, which is the higher part, is moved to pleasure and delight in God, and the sensual nature, which is the lower part, is moved to pleasure and delight of the senses, because it cannot possess and lay hold upon anything else, and it therefore lays hold upon that which comes nearest to itself, which is the impure and the sensual. So it comes to pass that the soul is in deep prayer with God according to the Spirit, and, on the other hand, according to sense, it is passively conscious, not without great displeasure, of rebellions and motions and acts of the senses, which often happens in communion. For when the soul receives joy and comfort in this act of love, because this Lord bestows it, since it is to that end that he gives himself, the sensual nature takes that which is its own likewise, as we have said, after its manner. Now, as after all these two parts are combined in one individual, they ordinarily both participate in that which one of them receives, each after its own manner. For as the philosopher says, everything that is received is in the recipient after the manner of the same recipient. And thus, in these beginnings, and even when the soul has made some progress, its sensual part, being imperfect, oftentimes receives the Spirit of God with the same imperfection. Now, when this sensual part is renewed by the purgation of the dark night which we shall describe, it no longer has these weaknesses. For it is no longer this part that receives anything, but rather it is itself received into the Spirit. And thus it then has everything after the manner of the Spirit. The second cause from where these rebellions sometimes proceed is the devil, who, in order to disquiet and disturb the soul, at times when it is at prayer or is striving to pray, contrives to stir up these motions of impurity in its nature. And if the soul gives heed to any of these, they cause it great harm. For through fear of these, not only do persons become lax in prayer, which is the aim of the devil when he begins to strive with them, but some give up prayer altogether, because they think that these things attack them more during that exercise than apart from it. Which is true, since the devil attacks them then more than at other times, so that they may give up spiritual exercises. And not only so, but he succeeds in portraying to them very vividly things that are most foul and impure, and at times are very closely related to certain spiritual things and persons that are of profit to their souls, in order to terrify them and make them fearful, so that those who are affected by this dare not even look at anything or meditate upon anything, because they immediately encounter this temptation. And upon those who are inclined to melancholy, this acts with such effect that they become greatly to be pitied, since they are suffering so sadly. For this trial reaches such a point in certain persons, when they have this evil humor, that they believe it to be clear that the devil is ever present with them, and that they have no power to prevent this, although some of these persons can prevent his attack by dint of great effort and labor. When these impurities attack such souls through the medium of melancholy, they are not, as a rule, freed from them until they have been cured of that kind of humor, unless the dark night has entered the soul and rids them of all impurities, one after another. Melancholy is depression. Chapter 5. Of the imperfections into which beginners fall with respect to the sin of wrath. By reason of the concupiscence which many beginners have for spiritual consolations, their experience of these consolations is very commonly accompanied by many imperfections proceeding from the sin of wrath. For when their delight and pleasure in spiritual things comes to an end, they naturally become embittered, and bear that lack of sweetness which they have to suffer with a bad grace, which affects all that they do. And they very easily become irritated over the smallest matter. Sometimes, indeed, no one can tolerate them. This frequently happens after they have been very pleasantly recollected in prayer, according to sense. When their pleasure and delight therein come to an end, their nature is naturally vexed and disappointed, just as the child is when they take it from the breast of which it was enjoying the sweetness. There is no sin in this natural vexation, when it is not permitted to indulge itself, but only imperfection, which must be purged by the aridity and severity of the dark night. There are other of these spiritual persons, again, who fall into another kind of spiritual wrath. This happens when they become irritated at the sins of others, and keep watch on those others with a sort of uneasy zeal. At times, the impulse comes to them to reprove them angrily, and occasionally they go so far as to indulge it, and set themselves up as masters of virtue. All this is contrary to spiritual meekness. There are others who are vexed with themselves when they observe their own imperfection, and display an impatience that is not humility. So impatient are they about this, that they would like to be saints in a day. Many of these persons purpose to accomplish a great deal, and make grand resolutions. Yet, as they are not humble and do not have misgivings about themselves, the more resolutions they make, the greater their fall is, and the greater their annoyance, since they do not have the patience to wait for what God will give them when it pleases Him. This likewise is contrary to the spiritual meekness aforementioned, which cannot be wholly remedied except by the purgation of the dark night. Some souls, on the other hand, are so patient as regards the progress which they desire, that God would be glad to see them less so. End of chapter 5.